All right, thank you very much for that testimony in song. We're going to direct it to Dad's, okay? I'm sure it was an opportunity. I look out across the audience, the auditorium today, and see the opportunity that I have to share some things with Dad's. And the message today may be a little bit different Father's Day message than you have ever heard before, okay? But we are going to look at some things the Lord has taught me about fatherhood. If you have your Bibles, and if you would turn to Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23, we're going to look at some verses here, and I will jump in and get started, okay? Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and if you will look at verse 33 with me, it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, one on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also, which also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If he be the King of the Jews, save thyself." Well, I'm grateful that on that day when Christ went to Calvary, he did not save himself, but he died to save you and I. And I share these words with you to kind of set the tone of the message. We will actually come back to the text at the end of the message. Verse 34 says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for Father's Day. Trust that as we look into the Word of God, that we as fathers can be challenged in our responsibilities as dads, that we also as a congregation can look back and think of the fathers that you've given to us, that we can be grateful for that. And as I mentioned earlier, Lord, I thank you that you are each and every one of ours our Heavenly Father, and there's nothing that we cannot bring before you. No request, no need, no challenge that we cannot bring before your feet in prayer and ask you for your help and grace. Today, Lord, we want to look at a characteristic that is very core and central to who you are and what you have shared with us. And I pray that everyone here can benefit from something, but we as fathers would understand the challenge that you've placed before us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. It's Father's Day. You go into your office, you sit at your desk, and you say, well, what do I need to say on Father's Day? Now, a pastor that's in the pulpit every Sunday, he has an opportunity. He's been studying. He's got things laid out before him, and he's thinking about weeks in advance of what he's going to preach. I don't always have that opportunity. So I sit in the office this week, actually last week as well, thinking, what am I going to say on Father's Day? Then I changed my thoughts and I said, Lord, what do you want me to say on Father's Day? Well, a great silence comes over the office and I don't hear anything, okay? So I continue to read and I pray and still nothing. And I said, well, this is not working very well. And so I decided to rephrase the question and say, Lord, what lessons have you taught me about fatherhood? So I'm going to share a few things with you today, and again, it may be something totally that different than what you think about fatherhood or Father's Day as far as that goes. Very basic, but very important to our everyday life and really our relationship with our Heavenly Father as far as that goes. The message today has three main points. I'm going to give them to you now because we may not get done. Number one is be willing to forgive your father. Be willing to forgive your father. The young people here sitting here today are saying, yes, amen. Okay? And the dad is saying, okay, kids, are you listening to the preacher? He says you need to be willing to forgive dad. Okay? Well, in actuality, I'm going to try to direct the message really to us as men. Okay? To dads that are here. Everybody else, you can listen in. And there's plenty of application as far as that goes. But first of all, first point is be willing to forgive your father. Number two, be willing to forgive your kids or your children. Now the children are saying, amen, dad, you need to listen, okay? Well, this lesson or this point is actually still directed to the fathers. Fathers, dads, be willing to forgive your children. Now, there may be a few young men sitting here in the auditorium, okay, you can listen up to, because God may, in His mercy and in His grace, give you the opportunity to be a dad someday, and you will have some of these challenges to be faced. Point number three, be diligent about teaching your children to forgive others. Be diligent about teaching and training your children to forgive others. You say, oh, yeah, I guess I need to do that. I should be working on that. Again, young people, and we have a few in here, okay? I have in my notes, kids, listen up. My challenge to you is learn while you're young, because many of us older folks here find it harder the older we get to forgive. That should not be the case, but it is. Father's Day. Thank you, dads, for being here. I see many throughout the auditorium. That's an encouragement. You are the hope and the future of the next generation, not to the exclusion of moms and others that are here, okay? But in my working with young people here in our church ministry and our school ministry, I realize the importance of fathers, and in many cases, a godly father is a very rare commodity today. All right, we're going to get started. Number one, as I mentioned to you, number one is forgive your father. Learn to forgive your father. Now, some of us sitting here today may have many fond memories of your father, and that's a good thing. Praise the Lord if you have many fond memories of your father as far as that goes. If you do, take the time to be thankful. First of all, thank God. Thank God that the Lord has given you in this life the privilege of having a father that honored the Lord, was faithful to the Lord, one that you could look up to and be encouraged. So thank God, and also take some time to thank your dad as well. So first of all, when you consider the fond memories that you may have of a godly father, be thankful. Number two, take time to honor your father. Honor in word and in action. I don't believe that when a young person, a young man or a young lady, when they leave home, that the responsibility of honoring their parent ends. I believe it's a long, lifelong obligation, responsibility that God gives to us in His word. Okay, if you have fond memories today of a dad, if you're sitting here and you're in your mind, maybe dad's not here, but you're thinking of dad, take time to honor your father. Dads, be careful how you speak about your parents, in the presence of your children. One of the ways we honor our parents is by the way we teach and train the next generation. And it's very easy for us to be able to speak of the negative things, the things that, you know, are a discouragement to us or difficulties in the presence of, yes, our children. Be careful, because you may be shaping and forming their thoughts and their desires towards their grandparents, and we have a responsibility of training our children to honor our parents. Be thankful, honor, pray for. Their ministry's not done. It's not done with you. It's not finished. It's not completed. You may be out of the home, Dad, okay, but you can continue to pray for your father Okay? That God will continue to use him in the local church, the local assembly, as he may teach a Sunday school class. He may have influence upon others. Young couples coming up, as far as that goes, pray for your father. Number four, remember the good things. Okay? All of us can sit down and talk about our dads, and we can think about the weird things, quirky things, and things we remember and kind of joke about, as far as that goes. But how often do we stop and think about the good things about our fathers? Remember the good things, put them into practice, and pass them on. Pass them on to the next generation. Number five, don't let your differences in adult life stifle or quench your fellowship and support for your father today. Remember to honor your father. And I'm speaking to dads. I'm talking to the men that are in this congregation. Now, obviously, you're all listening in. However, I fully understand that for some people here today, for some dads here today, we have very difficult or strained memories of the fathers that we had growing up. Some, there may be some here today, they have no memories whatsoever. They're non-existent because maybe they didn't ever have a relationship with their father. Now, I can't address all of them, but let me mention a few of them. Now, I'm not asking you to excuse or accept sin, but for many, God wants you to learn to grow and watch his grace and forgiving action or forgiveness in action in and through your life. Be willing to forgive your dad. Why? Why should I forgive my dad? Well, he's human. Some of you may say, well, you may wonder about that. Yes, yes, he's human. Your dad is human, okay? And he is prone to failure. In fact, he will always fall short of God's perfection. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every man in this auditorium has missed the mark, okay, of God's perfection. Psalm 103 verse 14 says that God remembers our frame. He remembers that we're but dust. Don't ever forget that your father is human. And number two, you are too. You are too. You are a lot like your father. You say, oh, no, Pastor Waters, you don't understand. You don't know my dad. There's nothing about me that I'm like my dad. We are diametrically different. Okay, he's 180 this way, I'm 180 this way. We are totally different. No. If you're sitting in this auditorium, you are very much like your dad. As far as being flawed, you have the same potential to fail. You have the same potential to sin, to harm, and to hurt. Yes, it will take God's grace to learn to forgive. Your father is the product of a sin nature that's always battling against him, and he's dealing with that, the flesh all the time. He is the product of a sin nature in a fallen world, just like you are, just like myself. Don't forget that he may or may not have had the exposure to biblical Christianity, to the Bible, or experiences of God's grace in changing things in his heart and in his life. Sometimes we are quick to judge others on the basis of the amount of light and understanding that we have received from the Lord. We look at that and we look at somebody else. Maybe you look at your dad very judgmentally because of the things that were in his life. But perhaps you're sitting here today, a very privileged individual, because through Christ, the Lord has come into your heart and God has saved you and done a miracle of work in your life. And your father may not have had those same opportunities. One day, as a father, you too will want mercy and forgiveness from your children. But most importantly, forgiveness opens the channel to bring about change through God's grace that glorifies him and gives us peace and joy. The last two Wednesday evenings, we were looking at Philippians chapter 1 of how Paul allowed God to work in and through his life to do his will. And it brought about great joy in his heart and in his life. If we have time at the end of the service, I'd like to share a story that illustrates that. So, number one, be willing to forgive your father. Number two, be willing to forgive your children. You say, well, that is a daily occurrence. Okay? Dads, it should be. It should be a daily occurrence. Fathers, learn to forgive your children. Does that mean that again, you excuse sin and disobedience and rebellion? No, I'm not mentioning that or making reference to that. But first of all, remember that your child is your child. Okay? Your child is your child, just as you and me, just as we are a child of the Heavenly Father. And God gives to us pictures in His Word of how He has ministered and wants to minister and deal with us in our hearts and in our lives. That being the case, we need to remember that our children, our sons, our daughters, they are our children. Perhaps you have failed to teach or to train or to be the right example in your home or in the lives of your children. And because of that, there's created, you know, an attitude and a challenge within their hearts and their lives. And they can't always clearly see the role of what a father is supposed to be. That's very convicting. Makes you stop and think. Because I often have fallen far short of the example of what the Heavenly Father is. Your child has a will, just like you have a will. Did you ever disobey your father? Well, why? Why did you disobey your father? Huh? You say, well, listen, I had a right. If you knew who my dad was, if you knew his life and his actions and the way he behaved and how he treated us, if you understood who my dad was, you would understand that I had a right to disobey my dad. Right? Wrong. Wrong. Your child may, or maybe I should change that, your child will choose to disobey you, disappoint you, and dishonor you. Am I saying excuse sin? No. And right now I'm not really talking about directly about child training, okay? What I'm talking about is a father that has an unforgiving spirit that leads to bitterness and resentment towards his own children. Be careful. Be careful. They can sense, they can know if we as fathers are unforgiving. They can sense, they can know what their relationship is with their earthly father. Be willing to forgive your children. When there is frustration, anger, resentment, hurt, pain over the things that you deal with on a daily basis, choose to meditate on how the Lord has dealt with you as His child, and ask God for His wisdom and direction how to deal with the challenges that you face with the children that are in your own home. Be willing to forgive your children. What do you do? What do you do when an adult child, an adult son or daughter, chooses to disappoint, dishonor you and your wife, your family, and chooses to dishonor the Lord? A very difficult and challenging circumstance to deal with indeed. I share with you today the challenge to choose to be a channel of grace and not a stumbling block of offense. Don't allow Satan to plant bitterness and an unforgiving spirit within your heart, making yourself part of the problem. Some of us, some of you, have faced great challenges. I've prayed for you, and I look in awe of how you have dealt with adult children that may have brought disappointment and struggle and difficulty. Some of you here, if God tarries, may face that in the future. Don't allow Satan to plant bitterness and an unforgiving spirit within your heart. Allow God to work in and through you that you might be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Ask God for that grace. Pray that the Lord will be honored by your actions and by your responses. Number three, forgive others. Dads, be diligent about teaching your children to forgive others. Sometimes fathers are characterized as being harsh, stern, uncaring, demanding, insensitive, busy, preoccupied, and the list goes on. The exact opposite could be the truth. A father may be soft, permissive, inconsistent, undisciplined, unloving. Dad, as a father, God has given to you an awesome responsibility of teaching and training your children about the true biblical practice of forgiveness in your home. Sometimes we fail. We fail as dads, we fail as men. Sometimes I think we fail because we don't know what to do. We go it alone. We try to, control the circumstances and the situation. We get an idea in our head and we say, this is what we need to do. Now, God gives to fathers that responsibility. But I caution you that you don't make those decisions. You don't lay down the law until you've bent the knee and faced your Heavenly Father and asked for guidance and direction to make those decisions. We live in an ungodly, wicked, hateful, cruel society. And you have the responsibility in the midst of the crazy society that we live in today to teach what biblical forgiveness is. Make sure you practice forgiveness in your own walk with the Lord. Your kids, your children need to see that you are practicing on a daily basis biblical forgiveness in your heart and in your life. They need to see that your relationship with your wife is one in which you practice biblical forgiveness. I cannot tell you how many times young people are challenged with the idea of what biblical forgiveness is because they have seen all the struggles between mom and dad. Unbelievers and believers who have struggled with true biblical forgiveness. And because of that, they've been caught in the middle trying to think, okay, what is right? Who is right? And that's not the issue. The issue is the Lord is right. And we have a responsibility as a dad to lead in a way that our children can see what biblical forgiveness is all about. Make sure you practice forgiveness in your walk with the Lord, with your relationship, with your wife, and with your own children. Do your children know? Do your children know that they can be forgiven? You say, sure, Pastor. They know that. They know they can be forgiven. No, let me ask you a question. Now, some of you, again, have many fond memories of your father, but some of you don't. And it is a challenge to work through some of these things. Make sure you practice with your children. Make sure they understand that they can receive your forgiveness. If you needed to go to God the Father today and ask Him for forgiveness, would you receive it? Is there a man here today that has a right to say, I will not forgive my child? Make sure you practice forgiveness with your children. I need to keep moving. Okay, make sure you practice forgiveness with those who do you wrong in life. We're men. We have responsibilities. We have jobs. We have occupations. We're on the move. There's things like that. Do your children observe the interaction that you have with other men and other people, things in church, things at work, things in the extended family, and all those experiences? Do they see you putting into practice how you handle and how you deal with people that do or have done you wrong in life? Number two, continue to build a right relationship with your children of accountability. I'm not saying that you excuse sin or rebellion, okay? Continue to build a right relationship of accountability, confession, that's acknowledgement of wrong, and forgiveness. Accountability, confession, forgiveness. Okay, here at the school, I tell the teachers, you teach three things. What did you do? What should you have done? And number three, what are you going to do next time? Three very basic things. You need to prepare your children for a world that does not fully understand or has never experienced God's forgiveness. It is a cruel, harsh, sin-enticing, unforgiving world in which we live. I'd like to share in closing, I think I have time, in closing a story today, maybe to illustrate something of what I'm trying to share with you today. I'm going to read it so that I can get through it. The story is told of a young man who, while in his high school years, had surrendered his heart and life to serve the Lord. God had begun to challenge him about many things in his personal life, his walk with the Lord, his spiritual growth, his commitment to prepare for the ministry. He had an increasing desire to take God's word and to make it personal to his own heart and life. At a young age, he began to take responsibilities in his local church. There were many times when the preaching of God's word brought great conviction and a greater desire to yield more to the Lord. One Sunday morning, the preaching was powerful and direct on the subject of forgiveness. Matthew 6, verse 15 says, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father," speaking of Heavenly Father, "neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." God's Holy Spirit was very real and convicting. There was an issue that needed to be taken care of in the young man's heart. It must be settled. The question is, would he settle it? The pastor gave the invitation. The young man went down to the altar and prayed, asked the Lord for grace and wisdom and strength, and he made a commitment. Once home, the young man spoke to his mother and asked permission to do something he had not done since his father had left their family several years before. He asked if he could go visit in the home of his father. The young man's father had left the home when he was 11 years old. Many very difficult and challenging experiences followed. There was much pain and hurt and bad memories for the young man and for his siblings in the years ahead. Due to the circumstances under which the father had left, and because of the choices and decisions his father had made, His parents' marriage ended in divorce. Visitation rights were established, but controlled and limited by the young man's mother. However, on this occasion, permission was granted for the visit, as the young man's mother could see and understand the Lord was working in her son's heart, and she did not want to stand in the Lord's way. A phone call was made, and the request for a visit was granted. The young man put his coat on and proceeded to walk to the house next door. He was welcomed into the home and seated on one side of the living room, while his father and his new wife were seated across from him. The young man began to share his heartfelt thoughts. He shared how, in the midst of great frustration and confusion, he had harbored much anger and bitterness in his heart towards them. But today, because of God working in his heart, he would like to ask them to forgive him. After what seemed to be a long silence, his father began to speak and replied by saying, "I think that we should be the ones asking you to forgive us." The young man responded by saying he had forgiven them, but asked again if they would forgive him. The father responded slowly, as tears filled the corner of his eyes, and he said, "Yes, we will forgive you, and we do forgive you." After a little time of conversation, the young man asked to be excused, stating that his mother had dinner waiting and he did not want to keep the rest of the family waiting on him. And he walked back home. That day was the beginning of a transformation process that only God himself could have brought about. A day when a son and his father exchanged the gift of forgiveness. This story has a great personal meaning to me because I am that young man and the father is my dad. If you turn to Ephesians, you still have your Bible, turn to Ephesians. Let me just share a couple verses in closing. Ephesians chapter 6, we're all familiar with verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 2 says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Even though I was raised in very difficult circumstances and had a very difficult relationship with my dad until that day, I always felt compelled and I always felt that the Bible applied to me. And the Word of God says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Last evening, while I was finishing up the sermon, I made a phone call, and I spoke with my dad. We chatted for a little while, and I wished him a happy Father's Day. And I asked him permission to share with you today some of the details of our past. And I did that because in counseling young people and what have you, I've shared many personal things on an individual basis, but I've never really shared some of these things publicly. And that is because on that day in 1975, I forgave my dad. And there is not a person on the face of God's earth that can come to me and accuse my father before me, because I have forgiven him. You might need to turn back just a page there. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, a verse that should be in every home, should be on the lips of all of us as we work together as a family. Probably most of us could quote it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You say forgive. Why? Because he deserves it? They deserve it? No. Forgive. Why? Just because you're big and you can handle it and you know it's not going to bother you? No. Forgive. Why? Just because you want to make the peace and calm the ripples and calm things down? No. We have a biblical principle. It's found here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Because God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I have a question this morning. Has God forgiven you? Have you asked God to forgive you? Most of us are home folks, but obviously it all begins when we come to the Lord. We acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge the fact that, God, I have sinned against you, and I need your forgiveness. And if that truly happens in our heart, in our life, when we come before a loving Heavenly Father, and we acknowledge our sin and ask for forgiveness, we have the promise on the authority of God's Word that God will forgive us. Three things I've learned about fatherhood. Number one, be willing to forgive your father. Number two, be willing to forgive your children. Number three, diligently teach and train your children to forgive others. We're going to return to the text that we began, Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. There was a day when the Lord Jesus Christ was taken to the Mount Calvary, and there he was crucified on a cross. They said, if he could save others, why doesn't he save himself? No, he had a purpose that day, not to save himself, but to save you and me. And as he looked heavenward that day, he looked to his Father, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you willing to practice the biblical principle of forgiveness? It's part of God's character. It's part of his nature. It is why we are here today. Let's pray. Fathers, we have just a few moments to be still here. Prepare for an invitation. I do not know what you're doing in hearts and lives. The message was directed to fathers. The message was directed to me. Lord, I thank you for the gift of forgiveness. I thank you for the fact that one day I bowed my knee and I asked you for forgiveness. And it was granted. And it has been granted many times since then. Lord, I thank you for that day when I asked my earthly father for forgiveness. And it was granted. And you have taught me as a father to offer and to bestow upon my children forgiveness. But Lord, there's a world out there that has no idea, no understanding of what biblical forgiveness is all about. Maybe there's somebody here today and you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. I don't know what it might be. It might be for salvation. If it is, please let us help you. Please come forward when when we have the invitation, just a moment here. Come forward and let us be able to take the Word of God and show you that forgiveness can be received because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for our sin. Lord, I thank you that you have forgiven me. I thank you that my Father has forgiven me. And I thank you that you are teaching me to forgive my children on the day-to-day experiences of life. Lord, may we all learn to forgive others, that we might point others to a forgiving Heavenly Father. God, you know our needs. You know the need of the hour. I thank you for the men that are here. We all have different stories, and we could spend the rest of the day telling our stories. Some of them are warm and glowing and joyful. Some are very difficult and trying. But God, you are our Heavenly Father, and we can all come before you and be extended the gift of your forgiveness. May we never, ever forget that.